look at Connecticut high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. Bats and Sticks on WICC 600 and 95.9. The voice of Connecticut with your host, Dave Rudin.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Bats and Sticks. I'm Dave Rudin. We are brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food served fast. We're going to be sticking to bats this week. We got a good show lined up for you. Joining us in a little bit are going to be probably number two and three in terms of seniority, I think, in terms of baseball coaches' longevity. And Phil Pacelli of Trumbull and Mike Scott of Darien will be joining us after their teams are both coming off real, real strong weeks. And then later on, John Nash, one of my freelancers and the author of the CT Softball blog, he's going to join me to talk a little bit about softball as we near the mid-season part. But we're never at a loss to talk baseball, and just there's always, it's changing every week. It's fluid, but a lot's happened in the past week. And joining me to break it all down is my co-host Sean Ratchford. Sean, how you doing?
Extremely well, and we get into the halfway point this week, so we'll start to have a better picture of what baseball is going to look like in the future.
Yeah, I think didn't the season just start last week? It seemed it goes by so fast. I mean, tomorrow, just about every team's at the halfway point.
That is the hard part. The good news for most programs is they're not backed up for games. Usually you're going to have a week, Dave, where you're playing four, sometimes five games. That's taxing on your arms. It's taxing on your kids. You don't get to practice and work on things that you you need to practice, that you need to go over. So far, so good. We have a little weather maybe later this week, but clear sailing so far.
Yeah, I think baseball coaches, softball coaches are on the Weather Channel app probably more than any other sport. And there's so many places that we can start. I guess just because I saw them on Friday, you know, again, we talk about how fluid the season is and how things change. And a week ago at this point, Staples was slumping a little bit and had lost three in a row. And I was over at the Rutgers Field Friday for their 7-3 win over Stanford. And that was their fourth win in a row. And at 4-0, they're number one FCAC record right now.
Yeah, as we talked about the first week with Jack, he has a very good coaching staff, high expectations, which are great. The kids expect to go out every day, expect to do well. I love their field in that it gives them an advantage. It's a unique advantage. They get to play there. They know that there's tight quarters. There's not a lot of balls that are going to go out of play. You can squeeze teams a little bit. So kudos to Jack and his staff.
A couple of players that of note, Jules Cicero, their second baseman, who I've written about a lot and you had to coach against, he's off to a great start. He went 3-for-4 and hit a home run on Friday. And then a guy to keep an eye on, Nolan Walters, a shortstop, who Jack McFarland, their coach, cannot stop praising. And he has to cut himself off in mid-sentence because I think he feels like he's getting too effusive and putting a bullseye on him. But in a four-run seventh inning that broke a 3-3 tie, he had the first two RBIs on a double in the gap, a lefty who went the other way to left center. Staples is tough, and as you know from the past couple of seasons, a real strong lineup, and they always have pitching there.
Well, Cicero brings an intensity that I love. He makes the players around him better. And then as a coach, you love a guy that seems to come out of nowhere. And again, to get effusive praise from Jack, that's a testament to the young man because he's coached great players. I mean, some great players. So, again, that's pretty neat to hear.
You look right below Staples. Trumbull is the only other undefeated team in league play at 3-0. And then right behind them, you've got Darien, Ludlow, and Ward all at 3-1. And you have a bunch of teams still with just only one loss, including Your old team, which is going to be up for Team of the Week, the Hatters, a 3-0 week and playing themselves right back into things.
I'm really happy for Kevin. He works hard. John Wren is still there coaching him, giving him the wisdom and the guidance of someone that's been a coach for over 40 years. And he got a couple of players back. He's waiting on one more player. So, again, build. Try to keep the team getting better to play in the end. You want to play again, as we talked about in the past, the FCAC. You want to get into the state tournament and hopefully get a home game. So, very, very happy for him. You look at the league, you've got 10 teams that are over 500 or above overall. You've got 11 teams that are over 500 within the league or 500 or better. That's exciting. That's going to make it great for guys like you that write and promote the game.
Absolutely. It actually makes it hard because there's three big games every week, and it's hard to get to everything. Yeah, we're going to have Mike Scott on after. If there's a surprise of the teams just based on what was mentioned or not mentioned in the preseason, the Blue Wave was probably it. You know, 3-1. And they're coming off of two really nice wins. They've won three of their last four, but the last two wins, Stanford, which is a very strong team. I saw them Friday, and they can really hit the ball. And then St. Joseph. So not only are they winning, but they're real quality wins. So any win in the FCAC is a quality win, but against fellow contenders.
Yeah, Mike. Again, Mike gets the kids to play with an emotion, gets to play, Dave, I got to pick you up. Dave, you got to pick Sean up. That can be contagious. So once your team starts to roll, it's hard to get them not to roll. You have to do anything you can to try to keep certain players from Darien for getting on because they spark the rest of the team to think, I can do this.
I was talking to you a little bit on my ride in. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. It's got to be an FCAC record, but we started the week with a wild Trumbull win over Fairfield Ward, a one-run game. But there were, amongst other things, eight players hit by pitches. You ever see anything like that?
I've never seen anything like that. The only thing I can think of is, look, at you want to try to throw inside to keep them from getting the barrel out. So, you know, maybe before the game starts, your pitching coach, you as a coach, go down and say, hey, look, we want to stay hard in because that's what they do in the major league. Let's throw the hard stuff in. Let's throw soft away. Once you hit a kid as a high school pitcher, your mindset goes, oh, I can't hit anybody else. Well, what happens when you tell yourself you can't? Now you're buzzing somebody else. So it's hard. No one does it on purpose, not at this level. So, yeah, very unique situation.
There are also 10 walks. So it was a very strange game, especially because it was between two top teams. And I ended up writing, I didn't know about this until that night, but the game-winning hit was a three-run homer by Alex Roth. Alex Roth played on the freshman team, and then he did not play the last 2 years because he wanted to focus on basketball, decided to come back out for the team. Usually seniors who don't know what their playing time is going to be like, they're leaving the team so they can enjoy the last couple of months of school. They're not rejoining the team. And he came back just told the coach, I just want to be, you know, just want to be on the team. I'll be happy with whatever happens. Phil Pacelli, who'll be joining us, didn't decide till the final day of practice to keep him on the roster. And then he comes and hits a three-run homer, which is the kind of story people love to read, which is why I wrote about him.
I love that. I mean, I had a young man very similar, had never played. Coach, I just want to be a part of the program. So we kept him, and he got better and better. And his last at bat, we put him in the game. He gets a double. And so now he's probably in his 50s. Every time he sees me, he wants to remind me, Coach, you should have played me more. Coach, I'm one for one. I'm leading Danbury High history in batting average. So you love stories. We love stories as a coach because, again, it's why we do it. You know, we're teachers first who coach baseball in high school. We don't make a living doing it. So those stories are just as good as the kid that hits a three-run home run to win a game.
Now, people always ask me before, or occasionally ask me before a game, who am I rooting for? And I always tell, and it's true, I'm rooting for the good story. I'm rooting for somebody to do something good, not for a game to turn on a mistake, but on someone making a great play. And I interviewed Phil after the game, knew nothing. I knew Alex was a basketball player from covering the team, but knew nothing about his story until Phil said to me, you know, told me Alex's story. And at that point, I was looking for, so I'm always looking for story ideas. I said, you know, that's a great story. Let's do it. I asked him a couple of questions about Alex and then got Alex on the phone right afterwards and had a great story for Tuesday.
Yeah, and again, those are the kids you love because they help the other kids stay relaxed. He's bringing a different mentality to the game. Phil, you know, they have a very good basketball program. Buddy does a great job of coaching, and that's a question I want to ask Phil about having other coaches on his staff. And so Buddy knows what this young man is going to bring, and obviously he's looking for leadership. Mm-hmm. You get leadership and you get some other things out of him. That's a win-win for everybody.
I have to imagine as a coach, and we can ask Phil about this. I mean, as a coach, you're making decisions to help your team win what's best for your team. But when you get a kid like that, I have to imagine in the back of your mind, you're sort of saying, I hope he does well because I'd love to give him the opportunity because he's such a good kid.
And again, he brings grit. He's already played 20 games in FCAC basketball and then made the state tournament. So he's bringing something that the other kids may not have. He has a presence. So guys like him are perfect as long as, again, they're going to embrace and push the agenda of the team to make their teammates better. You get a big three-run home run out of him, that is icing on the cake.
And just bouncing around the standings a little bit, and again, things are going to shake up because we're sort of in haves and have-nots, and we've got four teams right now that are winless in league play. One of them is New Canaan. That's not going to stay that way very long at all. But yeah, besides your old team being 2-1, we go to that region of the league, and Ridgefield and Wilton are both 2-1 as well.
Yeah, and both had big wins. The preseason that they had done fairly well, Wilton. Then they got in the FCAC and got a little step back. But since then, rebounded and won some big games. That's good. Kevin just had a nice win last week. So it's good, again, for the league. It's good to have good teams. It's good to have teams play well. Every day, again, you challenge your team. We need to get better. They're going to make us better.
I think another big storyline that really hasn't gotten discussed is there are a lot of teams with their top pitchers injured. There's a lot of, you could put an FCAC all-star team together of pitching staff of guys who are sidelined right now. And we're going to talk to Phil in a little bit, and he's got Trevor Schoelke and Andrew Valentino. His top two pitchers are sidelined right now. Both players he's hoping to get back later in the year. But, you know, we've talked about the situation in Norwalk, and there's a lot of pitching talent sidelined right now.
Yep, and that's something that I think the coaches always look at, and maybe we'll lobby the state for another week of throwing. Okay, make it 3-1 week to the next so that you can build kids up. I love the fact that the state of Connecticut gave us an extra week. But again, thinking that 5 days is going to get somebody ready. You look at spring training in baseball. How, you know, who's the first people to report? The pitchers and the catchers. Why are they there so long? They want to build their arms up to get ready. We're asking young men that to go and try to be ready to pitch after a week, and then a second week where Dave Rudin may be my best shortstop, but Dave Rudin is also my star pitcher. What do I do? Do I put him at shortstop after he's thrown 90 pitches? Ugh. You know, we go from the weather where it's 80, you know, a couple weeks ago, and then we come out this week, it's 40 and it's wet at the beginning of the week. Yeah, it's really hard to balance that as a coach.
Well, we're talking about Trumbull and Phil Pacelli, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk to him. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
Connecticut high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Bats and Sticks and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and we've been talking a little bit about Trumbull, and when you look at the standings almost every year, you can go to the very top. That's where you're going to find them. And sure enough, at 7-1, riding a six-game winning streak, the Eagles are back in a familiar perch. And joining us right now is their coach, Phil Pacelli. Phil, how you doing?
Good morning, Dave. Thank you for having me. And Coach Ratchford, you're not going to like this, but I just want to congratulate you on your remarkable run at Danbury High School. It was not the same yesterday, or not yesterday, but last week, walking down that ramp to Danbury and not being greeted by you. And I certainly will miss our all of our pregame conversations.
Thank you very much. That's very nice of you. And again, one of the things I wanted to say is that as good of a baseball coach you are, you got an excellent person. And so Trumbull's very lucky to have you. So thank you.
That means a lot coming from your coach. And the same applies for we were at Wilton yesterday, and seeing Timmy there was certainly strange, too.
It's kind of your
yeah.
You, I think you and Mike, are you guys number two and three behind Jack McFarland for seniority?
I'm pretty sure. I think Jack started in 05. I started in 06. And then Mike a few years later.
Okay, yeah. 7-1, I'm sure you're pretty happy right now.
Yeah, off to a good start. The kids are playing well, executing. We scoring more runs this year, which is nice to see. Really emphasizing approach over mechanics at the plate. You know, understanding the situation that you're in when you get into the batter's box. Am I just trying to get on base? Am I trying to get a guy over? Am I trying to score a guy? And that certainly can change, you know, during your at-bat. So if we have a guy in second, pass ball, now the guy gets to third, now I'm in a different situation as far as approach goes. We also spend a lot of time on base running. This might sound crazy, but we spend a lot of time, you know, running from home to first, taking those turns, hitting the inside corner of the base, game of inches, and a lot of times if we do those things incorrectly, it's the difference between safe and out. So the kids are buying in. And so we're having a lot of fun. They seem to be like a really true team feel to the group this year, and things are going well at the moment.
Hey, you look at you talked about the offense. You're averaging almost 9 runs a game, and you've got a team batting average of 308, and a bunch of guys, several of your top players are batting over 350. So, did you expect the offense to be as potent as it has been?
Yeah, well, we do have a lot of guys with some experience now. Ryan Leonzi, our center fielder, you know, he started as a sophomore last year. Braden Jago is our third baseman. You know, that experience is very important to you know, progressing each year. So, you know, we have Luke McDermott's been at second base, productive. David Bagley at shortstop, he's a sophomore. And, of course, you know, we talked about Alex Roth last week, how he's contributing. So, also got some nice production out of first base. Eric Story and J.J. Scavone have contributed also.
Yeah, I want to get back to Alex after, but you also, we talked, your two top starters, Trevor Schulke and Andrew Valentino, are sidelined from pitching. I know you're hoping to have them both back a little later in the season, but you know, it's next man up in any sport, no matter who you are or what position. And you're showing that you have pitching depth right now because you're winning with other guys.
Yes. Jason Costello, he's a senior, providing depth into games right now. So is Ryan DeMello. Those guys are really stepping up in the absence of Trevor and Andrew. And then we've got some solid bullpen guys, too. Easton Nankervis, Sam O'Keefe, and Chris Castiello have been really stepping up and providing innings for us. So yeah, like you said, being able to win without those top two guys active right now is huge.
Yeah, you got a team ERA of 2.3, so you're getting it on all aspects. Coach, jump on in.
Hey, Mike, I love your coaching staff. You have the varsity basketball coach and Buddy Bray working with you. You've had the varsity football coach in the past. I love when you get the coach out of seat. You're relaxed. You get to teach the game. How have they influenced you, and how have they helped the Trumbull program?
Oh, yeah. Coach Bray is, he's one of a kind, as you know. He's just an extra set of eyes and hands and knows the game. He's been around it for decades and, just invaluable what he brings every day. Works with our infielders and just does a little bit of everything. And he's really a huge help. And my other assistant's Tim Tvardzik. He works with the pitchers. Does an outstanding job also.
Yeah, I love his intensity. You can see that, he's watching the bullpen. He's charting pitches. He wants to go out in the mound. He's waiting for you to be able to send him out to talk to the team and talk to the pitcher. I love that. I love that he brings that. We're getting into the AP, the proms, the award banquets, the college visits. How do you as a coach, how do you as a staff deal with that? Because inevitably, they're student athletes.
Yes. Obviously, you need to be lenient, I think. Now, as I've gone all these years, I think, coach, I got to go to college visit. Hey, you know what? Like you said, student athlete, you're student first, that comes first. So, that's an excused absence in my book.
That's excellent. And that's hard because, again, as young coaches, we want to win no matter what. We don't want our best player. We don't want our number three hitter to go anywhere. So
right.
How long did it take you to become where you looked at them as student athletes first? Because I didn't when I first started coaching.
No, I think, I was talking about this with someone the other day, when you first start off, you're like, you got to be here every day, strict, trying to put your fingerprints on the program. And then as time goes on, you kind of, I don't want to say soften up, but, you understand that there are other priorities sometimes, and sometimes those priorities have to take, come before the team.
That's excellent. You have a big week. You got Bridgeport away, and then you have two home games. You have Darien and Greenwich. How important is it to play those games at home? Do you believe there's a home field advantage in our league?
Sure, of course. We always say that fly balls go to die at Trumbull High School. Because, the big field, it's always windy there. And although I got a couple of these guys are proving me wrong with a couple of the home runs that we've hit, but those were more line drives anyway. So, Alex Roth had a big one against Ward last week to give us the lead late. And, but yes, I definitely think there's a home field. Being your environment that you practice on every day, it's definitely important.
Hey, Phil, as we finish up here, you brought up Alex Roth. I talked a little bit about him and the three-run homer early on, but tell the story of Alex and just coming back to the team and how close he was to, how he just last day got in, made the team and what he's done for you.
It's really quite a story, honestly. Like, he played for us freshman year, decided to go the basketball route to focus on basketball for the next 2 years. And then I saw his name on the, the sign-up sheet. I'm like, Roth, coming back? Wants to try to get back into this? And, during the tryout, it was kind of like the elephant in the room amongst the coaches. What's this kid going to be able to do? 2 years off? How's he going to contribute? How's this going to translate into varsity pitching? And, we were, back and forth at the end of every session of the tryouts. And then the very last day, I put the curveball machine up in the batting cage, and he really showed me something. It's, the ball just sounded different off his bat. And I said to myself, we need to keep this kid around. And I'm sure glad we did.
Well, Phil, you guys are playing good ball, and we always expect the Eagles to be high up in the standings and in contention, and you're there again. So congratulations on the fast start. Thanks for taking a little time with us here, and best of luck to you the rest of the way.
Thank you, Dave. Hope to see you soon. We'll see you next Sunday at McDougal for the walkathon, and Coach Ratchford, always a pleasure. Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
That was Trumbull coach Phil. Go ahead.
Can you talk a little bit about your walkathon? I think you're a little too humble about what you do besides doing this, the radio, the podcast, and the things you write online. What do you have coming up?
Next Sunday, and we're going to have to record our show, I meant to tell you in advance, but next Sunday at this time, I'll be at Trumbull High School. I'm going to be holding the first Rudin Report Hope Blooms Walk for Caring Kind, just a fantastic caregiver service for families afflicted by Alzheimer's. For 4 years, from 2020 to 2023, I was the chair of the Fairfield County Walk. And my mother was afflicted for over a decade, and I've wanted to help others who are in that situation with just dealing with family members with a horrible disease. But in 4 years, we raised $180,000. The FSEAC, all FSEAC teams just joined, and we'd get 50 teams every year. And it just meant a lot to me. I took a little bit of a break, but I've wanted to get back involved. We have a big Hope Blooms event that my brother co-chairs. That's going to be May 14th at the Hunt Club in Westport. But I decided to do a walk. Mike King at Trumbull very graciously has given the football field to us for 2 hours, and we're going to have a walk, and we've got over 20 teams so far signed up. I think we have every Trumbull team, and hopefully we're going to raise money for a good cause.
How do people sign up if they want to join it, and is it limited to only FSEAC teams?
I will take anybody that wants to participate, anybody at all from anywhere. We're going to have fun. You could go on. Look at my social media, because I'll have links there for everybody to sign up, or if you want to donate, if you can't make the walk. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to have a dunking tank there, and I'll be in it. So you get your chance to take shots at me, too.
That's awesome. Thank you for all that you do.
I appreciate it. Let's take a break. He's waiting to talk to us. On the other side, Darien Coach Mike Scott. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
Expert analysis on all things high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. You're listening to Bats and Sticks with Dave Rudin, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and he's one of the best hitters when he played high school baseball that I've ever covered, and now he's having the same kind of success from the dugout. And that's Darien Coach Mike Scott. He's here with us right now. Mike, how you doing?
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me on. And just want to say it's just a pleasure to be on with two absolute legends in the local sports scene. You mentioned, Dave, you know, you've covered me since I was a ball player growing up in Darien. And you know, I was some 30-something years ago. And then
I'm old.
You know, and I've seen you. But now so am I. Starting to get there. But then seeing you on the other side with, on the coaching side, just getting to know you a little bit better on that side has been unbelievable. And then Coach Ratchford, I mean, same thing. I played against him, throughout the high school career. And then, coaching against him was a challenge. I mean, his teams were always a nightmare to play against just because of all the little things his teams did, with the small ball and the delayed steals and the squeezes but beyond that, he's just a better person. I'm really gonna miss you. When we see Danbury come down our way this year, but it's a pleasure to be on with both of you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike. Means a lot. You're not too bad a coach yourself, and you've got a team that's pretty hot right now. We didn't talk a lot about you in the preseason, and to be fair, we don't, going into every season, we don't know a lot, especially if there's not a lot of returning players, but you've won three of your last four, and you're coming off wins over Stanford and St. Joseph. You got to be happy with the way your team's playing.
Yeah, that's where we like to be. You know, we've always liked to fly under the radar. we're a lacrosse town, but we like to keep baseball under the radar and just to put our nose down and grind. But like you said, we lost a lot of seniors last year. We had a class of 13 seniors who were experienced. And there's nothing to really replace experience, especially when you get to the varsity level. So, we don't necessarily have a young team this year. We have a new team, and we knew that we'd take our lumps early. You know, we're gonna have to just learn on the job. But we have talented ball players, and we feel that, you know, as they get used to the varsity level, that we'll get better as the season goes on. And we had a couple nice wins last week, but I'm still not sold on where we are. There's still a lot of things we need to clean up, but that's just me looking with a critical eye. But you can't be displeased with those results, especially against two quality teams like Stanford and St. Joe's.
Yeah, you started off losing three of your first four games, but all those losses were to really, really top teams, including the final one to Trumbull. What's working for you right now? What aspects of your team have surprised you the most that maybe were question marks or uncertainties that have really worked for you so far?
Well, it's got to start on the mound. We thought we were going to have a three-headed monster on the mound this year, with Colin Tomaszewski, Connor Kilroy, and Devin Montezano. Unfortunately, Connor Kilroy, he got hurt in his last hockey game, and he's still not back yet from the throwing side. So now we're down to two real high quality pitchers. So it starts there, and both those guys, whenever we put them on the mound, give us a chance to win. The other guys, like I just mentioned, they're new to the level, and we took some lumps early just because I think the speed of the game was just too much for them at the times. And now they're starting to get used to how fast they have to make decisions, and overcoming that speed issue. And I think they're starting to play with a little bit more confidence, and that's really what it is. A little belief in yourself that you can get the job done. We've put different guys in different spots, and we've seen some response. So certain guys, different guys have stepped up in different games, and it's really been a team effort. So we have two really big tests coming up, between tomorrow and Wednesday, and I'm interested to see how we compete. I'm really interested to see how we come out tomorrow and face a really tough Staples team, and then we get to see Trumbull again. And see how we had a tough game against them because we made a lot of mistakes in that game, both on the mound and in the field. And hopefully, we can put a better challenge up for them on Wednesday.
Two tough road games. Coach, jump on in.
Yeah, you talked about playing in the league at Darien. I don't think we ever got you out. You seem to get a hit after hit after hit against us. You went on to have a very, very successful career at UConn, and now you come back and you teach and you coach at the high school you played at and in the FCEC. How you talked about being one of the senior spokesmen of the league. How has the league changed since you played in the league? What do you see as the biggest changes?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's still a very high quality league, and I think there's no gimmies in the league. You have to show up to play every day, and anybody can knock you off. And I think St. Joe's is probably taking that lesson on Friday. Hey, we show up to Darien, that's a 500 ball club, and they knocked us off. So you can't just show up and expect to win. So that really hasn't changed. The only thing I think that really has changed is the whole landscape beyond high school baseball, where the kids don't play together, outside of the high school season much anymore. There's not the legions has kind of died down, and these travel programs have taken over. So these kids are going off and they're playing for different programs. They come back together for one high school season, and there's not that chemistry maybe that there has been that was so proliferate in the past. So I think that's changed. So it's really trying to get the kids to buy into that. Hey, you're playing for Darien now. You're wearing the blue and white, and this is all that matters. Your travel teams don't matter. This is your community. Your buddies. This is one chance you have to play together. And I think that's been a change. Where kids were just used to playing with each other. They could read each other, and now it's they're trying to learn that through a short preseason and then throughout the season. So I think that's been the one big thing. But beyond that, it's just the exposure to baseball. I think you see a lot more strength on the mound. You see pitchers that are throwing harder than they ever have before, and that's just because they're playing more and they're in these specialized programs to build up their arm strength at a younger age. So it's still a very competitive league, and it's something that I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't want to roll up to the field with a gimme. I want to be able to go out and compete every game.
I love that answer. That is a tremendous answer, and I think you hit it right on the head. We have parents that are listening. We have players that may be listening. The biggest adjustment that you had to make as a very, very good at student athlete coming out of Darien, going on to play in college in a competitive thing, what's the biggest adjustment that kids have to make both as an athlete and as a student to go on and play in college?
I mean, the first thing is you have to love the game. You have to love it. You can't dabble in the sport. You know, you have to be all in, from the athletic side and from the academic side, because once you get past the high school level, it's a full-time job. So if you don't love being out on the field, if you don't love the grind of practice every day or your early lifting sessions, and then have to go after all that stuff and hit the books for a little while, you know, if you don't love that structure and that grind, it's not for you, and it's not for everybody. It really isn't. You get kids that want to play college baseball, and you may even send some on. They get there and they're like, wait, like, you know, this is my whole life now. And the answer is yes. You know, and if you don't love it, you shouldn't even be looking at it. So, I think that's one thing, especially, you know, my guys that want to go play that next level, is try to give them that heads up. Be like, hey, you know, you're a good ball player. You have the ability to play that level, but you know, you better want to be, you know, in that role and in that environment 24/7.
Mike, as we finish up here, you alluded to it before, and I wanted to ask you about it, but I don't know if there are any other FSAC program that has more across the board success in the spring than Darien does. You talked about it being a lacrosse town, and it is, but you look at golf and tennis and boys volleyball and track, Darien just loaded. Baseball, you have a lot of lacrosse players there in particular. What have you done? Your team's, you've had a couple of down years, but your team's never, ever underachieved. What have you been able, what's led you to be able to be so successful in a difficult town like that in terms of number of athletes available?
Yeah, it's it's something we've tried to address years ago. Just trying to identify the top talent on the baseball side early on and try to keep them together. Try to keep them playing competitive baseball past the Little League ages. I think that's where we lost a lot of kids, because they come up after Little League and there'd be no real competitive local team to play for, so they lose interest, and they get a sport like lacrosse. It's a little bit faster pace and a little bit easier to pick up. I mean, no disrespect to that sport, but it's an easier sport to pick up than baseball, and they trend that direction. But at the same time, you know, it's building a process at the high school that the kids can buy into and believe in, and we do have an expectation, you know, across the school. It's high expectations on the academic side, it's high expectations on the athletic side, and even, you know, you look at like something like our theater program. Like our theater program is incredible, and it's just because there's that level of expectation across the school that they're high achievers, and they want to extend that to every area of their lives. So I think that starts at home, with the way they're raised, and they carry it on to different endeavors, whether it's an academic club, whether it's a sport or what have you. So, but as far as the baseball side, we have a process we believe in. We ask the kids to buy into the process, and the quicker they buy in, I think the better our teams are.
Well, Mike, there's nothing better for me when you see great players go on and give back to the sport and become great role models and coaches. And there are a few that are on the level you are, but nobody higher. So congratulations on all that you're doing there. Best of luck the rest of the way. You got a tough week. And thanks again for taking a little bit of time here.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on, Dave.
All right. That was Mike Scott. Sean, we're talking about a big week. We're going to have a lot to talk about next Sunday, as always.
Very exciting. Again, as this baseball season, it's a dash.
It's a sprint, as always. Well, Sean, I love when we get the coach speak. It's fun for me to just sit back and listen to you talk to the coaches. I learn a lot from it, so you get the rest of the show off. Thanks again, and we'll do this again next week.
Outstanding. Thank you again, and good luck with the walk. I think it's a great cause. People, please come out and donate or get your fanny over there and do some walking at Trumbull High School.
Thanks a lot, Sean. I appreciate it. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to go from baseball to softball with John Nash. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
Game recaps, athlete interviews, and everything high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. It's Bats and Sticks with Dave Rudin, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to talk a little bit about softball. Nobody knows it better. He fortunately writes for me a lot, and you can also read him on the CT Softball blog. That's all John Nash. He runs it all, and he joins us now. John, how you doing?
Hey, Dave. Thanks again for having me back.
We're going to talk softball. You're the man. Just looking at the standings here, and most of the teams up there are teams that we expected to be there. We've got eight teams that have zero or one loss. And is there a major theme that as we hit the halfway point tomorrow that you've seen, or what do you see as the big storylines? And we'll get to the one surprise team right after.
First and foremost, I'm shocked that we're halfway through the season already. That caught me off guard a little bit this morning, but
it's a sprint.
Very much. Yeah, no, very much so. But you're right. With the cream has risen to the top, and they were all the teams we expected. But I think the biggest thing that's kind of surprised me is anybody can beat anybody in this league, it seems, on any given day. And that's what's going to make the FCAC tournament so exciting this year. I think, you know, the last couple of years, number eight has always battled number one tough. Norwalk beat St. Joe's, I believe it was 2 years ago. Ridgefield almost knocked St. Joe's off last year in a one-run game. So I think it's going to make for a great tournament, and it's anybody's game right now.
I think one, and we'll get to some of the top pitchers around the league, and the one who's maybe is the biggest storyline so far. But let's talk a little bit about the team we're going to write about this week, and that's Wilton. If there's a surprise team so far, when you talk about softball, Wilton rarely ever gets mentioned, and they're coming off a big 3-0 win yesterday over Trumbull. You were there. What's made the Warriors so good so early?
The big thing, you know, Tom Peer, formerly of West Hill, longtime FCAC coach, is now at Trumbull, and his quote, the one that really jumped out at me, was that he thought Wilton was the best hitting team in the FCAC.
Wow.
He scouted them a few times. He's seen them a couple times, and they do. I mean, you know, they struck out 14 times, I believe it was, against Matty Pippa. But when they did put the ball into play, it was hit hard. They had, you know, the one inning where they had a home run with a two-run double, and so on and so forth. But what surprised me even more than their ability to hit, and, you know, because scoring three runs off, you know, Trumbull is good, but you know, it's not like scoring double digits on them, but the fact that they put up a zero on Trumbull, which has four kids going on to play in college next year, and all that, is that part was what surprised me. But they played great defense. Leanna Cross, you know, was the pitcher yesterday, and she's a little bit of a junk baller who uses spin to be successful, and they played great defense behind her. And when you have all those ingredients, that's going to make you really, really tough to beat. And they're 7-2 right now, I believe, 3-1. In the league, and then they could be a player by the time all this is over.
Unfortunately, we just have about 45 seconds, run a little late. I apologize, but Jeff Jacobs covered the Darien's 4-0 win over St. Joseph. I think it was his first time seeing Vivian not pitch, and his text to me was something along the lines of, wow, Vivian's going to Stanford, and it's been a long time since we've seen a pitcher like her.
Yeah, very much so. There's, I was actually fortunate enough to have a conversation with Rachel Fico the other day, the former Massac pitcher who went on to great things at LSU, and certainly Vivian is having the type of career that is going to rival that a little bit, I think, in terms of total strikeouts and all that. But again, you know, she's probably head and shoulders above all the other really, really good pitchers in the FCAC. But again, last year it took 14 innings for St. Joe's to beat her. So she can be beaten. And the big question for Darien is, they're going to have to score enough runs to make her even more dangerous. And so far they're doing that. Was it 6-1, I think, 5-0 in the FCAC? So they're off to a great start as well.
John, my apologies. We ran a little late on the baseball, but There's so much to talk about. I promise I'll have you back real soon. Thanks a lot for taking a little time here.
My pleasure, Dave. Thanks.
Okay, that was John Nash, and that's this week's episode of Bats and Sticks. We're brought to you by Dutch's Restaurants. Fresh food served fast. Great show. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Paul Goodman in the chair. Have a good week, everybody.